Hello, it's the Bookcast. It's episode number 155 of the Bookcast. My name's Stephen. Hello, how are you? I hope you're well. Today we have I have some friends who are going to talk with me about Nintendo things, which is a kind of thing we do on the regs. One of those friends is, who do I do first? Daniel. How are you, Daniel?
Yo, what's up?
Daniel is extremely white at the moment.
Do a rap to start if you want. My name's Daniel Dubb, and I'm here to say I'm down with Nintendo games in a major way.
Stop.
I said a major way. I'm sorry.
And you might have heard the voice of reason there. Troy, hello, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm not going to phone it in.
Yeah, unlike some people.
What? Phoning it in. Okay. Cool.
We're all computer phoning it in at the moment, I guess.
You've changed since you left Perth, man.
Yeah, Adelaide gets to you, dude. Hi.
Have you had a meat pie photo since you got there yet?
No.
Don't.
I don't want to. I'm from Adelaide. Horrendous.
You'll want to leave.
Like, my dad's from Adelaide, and he made a pie floater at my house once, and I was like, what?
Sorry, but making a pie floater sounds like a euphemism for something else.
Is it poo?
Bingo.
Oh, cool. Well,
we are the most mature of people because we giggle at the word poo.
So, that's the quality to expect from the rest of this podcast. So, we'll jump right into a couple of topics that we're going to be having a big old chat about today. Last couple of days, there's been a bit of a bit of hubbub around Metroid Samus Returns because a bunch of Australian outlets, including us, got invited to Nintendo Australia to have a look at Metroid Samus Returns and play it a bit and stuff. Unfortunately, none of us actually went to that, but things are looking pretty positive.
Yeah. I mean, for a remake, it's substantial.
To me, it's making me kind of happy that I haven't played AM2R. Like, that was more out of laziness than anything. I really wanted to, but I kind of feel like this is hopefully going to be the definitive best way. And having not played a Metroid 2 remake so recently, it might help this be a bit more impactful. So I'm, really keen.
Yeah, I think I said this last time we talked about it. Metroid 2 is the most Metroid-y Metroid because it's full of Metroids.
And it's the most difficult Metroid to Metroid because it's weird and old and Game Boy.
Yeah, so it looks like they're adding that new gaming convention sort of thinking to a quite possibly one of the more important Metroid titles out there.
Oh, storyline-wise, like so much. Literally one thing happens, but it's an important one thing that sort of defines.
Kind of, it sets a direction.
It features the baby.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Metroid Other M.
I don't know. I've made it pretty clear in the previous episode. I was anxious a little bit about Mercury Steam taking on a game that needs to be, it can't just be a good game. Their previous stuff has been fine, but not like Metroid good. But it seems like they, under whoever is helping them out, or maybe they've just gotten better at making games since then, I don't know, but it seems like this is actually going to be really sort of a lot better than I was expecting from them, which is exciting.
Isn't the director for this still, what's his name, Sakamoto?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
I think it's him. Anyway, he's the guy that's also responsible for Samus being a bit of a flawed character in Other M, but kind of made Metroid I don't want to say what it is, but he's one of the figureheads of the franchise, I suppose.
Yeah. So he's kind of important to how it has gotten up until here, good and bad. And
I don't think he was that involved in the
producer, okay.
I don't think he was that involved in the Prime games, was he?
I don't think so.
Because I'm sure he quoted after, when he was working in Other Room, it's like, the Prime games are their own thing, so we don't really consider how they fit into the main story or sort of what we're making. But I know he was involved in everyone's favourite Metroid game, Federation Force.
By everyone, we mean you specifically.
I mean, it's a Prime, fine game!
Prime isn't considered canon.
Isn't
even
it?
Even though they're making a new one. Yeah, apparently. Well, by the Sakamoto guy?
Oh.
Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Let's go Sakamoto. Sounds more authentic.
I'll be playing Persona, and everyone puts the stress on the second syllable for names.
Sakamoto.
Yeah, Sakamoto.
So anyway, that's your Japanese pronunciation lesson for this.
I have no clue. I've tried both.
I don't know how to speak Japanese, but I've been doing a lot of sort of touching up on just listening to it, and it's a very sort of bouncy language. I find it's just very like syllables, you know.
Well, you probably don't want to bounce your new Nintendo 3DS XL Samus Returns special.
So just getting back to the actual game.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I mean, just the little things I'm hearing about the previews, how like it's got free aim in it now, and it's almost like it is a completely different game to what, you know, it's not just a simple sort of like remake. It's a full, like, you know, this, I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, it just, everything about it looks really good.
I guess it has like the combat, especially that it's got the you know, as you said, the free aim, and it's got the melee counters and stuff. It's adding a lot of, I guess, dynamic stuff that makes it feel a bit more like a modern game than just a remake of a game from however long ago Metroid 2 was.
Did they say if it was done on the same engine that they did Castlevania Mirror of Fate on?
Not that I'm aware of. It wouldn't surprise me if they either built on that engine or just straight up used it, because, I mean,
I kind of want it to has similarities.
I mean, you can do that if you want.
You know, again, that's enough. You know, I will be the champion of the B games, because that was, it was, again, it was a completely fine, enjoyable game. Just wasn't a Castlevania. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Cool.
It is going to be a good game to play on a flight to another country.
Yeah, on a special edition 3DS XL, maybe?
No, I've bought enough 3DSs. I'm not getting any more.
Let me have this segue, damn it.
Yeah, you can have it.
You've bought enough 3DSs. Have you, though?
Have you got the Samus edition?
I've got... Okay, so I bought the original 3DS. I bought the...
Okay, we don't need a list.
Then the 3DS XL, then the 3DS...
You've Stop.
Started. 3DS Stop. XL Zelda no. edition.
So, yeah, the Metroid Special Edition, or Samus Edition, I should say. It's yellow and reddy orange, I guess. It looks kind of metallic in texture. It's an XL. Is there more about it than that, aside from the colours and the sort of Metroid-y decal on top?
I think not so much about the 3DS itself, but kind of what it represents of Nintendo's attitude towards the franchise, I guess.
It does seem, yeah, a bit more like, I guess, some commitment more than just, you know, here is a remake, which is, it shows some desire to be committed, but then adding a bit more on top of that shows that they're actually beginning to commit to it, the franchise, which is really quite pleasant.
Well, we got Prime 4 possibly next year. I have a feeling that, like, next year, like they've gotten Zelda and Mario out of the way this year, so next year will probably be all about Fire Emblem and Metroid.
For their so it'll be all hardcore. About Metroid, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like, there might be a Metroid iPhone game. They seem to like to... Don't grow that, because that could be quite fun. If it's like Metroid pinball...
How do you do a Metroid gacha game? Like, do you just have...
Pinball. Well, you know how pinball. Metroid Prime Hunters, they all had their Morph Ball forms-esque forms?
Yeah.
Can you imagine them as the actual gachas?
Oh, you can get all your favourites.
How many
favorites
do you have for Samus?
Yeah, that's fair. All your favourite Saturday cartoon villains as gacha characters in Metroid Pinball iPhone Edition. Can't
It'll be
wait.
Power-ups. And every time you load your phone, Samus has lost all her power-ups.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see sort of Metroid being a big focus next year.
We hope to see.
Looking at the colours, can you imagine if Metroid Prime 4 came with Joy-Cons, these colours? Yeah. That deep orangey red is really nice. Like blood
I'm
orange.
I'm just imagining if like Nintendo's E3 booth, like it was Zelda last year, Mario this year, and then it's just full like Metroid sort of themed space thing for next year.
Yeah. So, any more Metroid before we move on to another topic?
Did we talk about what the amiibos do last episode?
I'm pretty sure we did, yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm screwed because I didn't pre-order them.
Yeah.
They're still available, aren't they?
I think they're, you'll probably be able to find them at Target if you look day one, but I'm pretty sure they're pre-sold out at places that let you do that.
Yeah, I might talk to eBay tomorrow.
That's one of the places.
Apparently there's just so many amiibo in Japan, I'll just get them there.
Yes. Cool, that could work.
Also, Japan doesn't give a shit about Metroid.
But yeah, we have had one update, one, I guess, clarification. Thank you, Chocobolt, for reminding. Yeah, it looks like there's a hard mode that's not locked behind the amiibo, but it's separate to the fusion mode, I think. I'm not fully sure the details on it, but yeah, it's not
Nintendo
fully...
Nintendo are clarifying, but not clarifying what the words mean.
Exactly. It's very Nintendo. But yeah, I guess that's the amiibo update for Metroid-y stuff. So, next topic I'm going to get a little bit grumbly, so sorry. But so Splatoon 2, that's a game that's been out for a little while, and it's been good fun. But it kind of has a bunch of very annoying Nintendo-y online decisions that have made it more difficult to enjoy than I would have liked to. I think the most annoying thing was during the Splatfest. So every person chooses a side, and when you're playing during Splatfest weekend, you can only play with people on your side, which makes perfect sense. But so I had some friends that I wanted to play with who were mayonnaise people, and we won. So
horrible rubbish people, you mean?
Up the mayo. Isn't that what football people say? But anyway, so we were like, cool, let's play some Splatfest games together. This will be cool and fun and, like, I don't know, camaraderie and stuff. So we're like, cool, let's see if we can join each other like we can on a normal day. That doesn't seem to be working. And so we worked out you can join each other through, like, there was a team yeah. mode, but in order to do that you needed to have four people, and there was only like three of us that wanted to play at the same time, so basically we just played like that entire evening in separate games while just talking about general stuff instead of talking about goofy things that were happening in the game. Is that as annoying to other people as it is to me, or am I making a big deal out of this?
I get why it's annoying, but the reason they're doing that is because teams are matched against other teams, and solo players are matched against other solo-built teams, if that makes sense.
Okay.
That's why they're tracked differently.
Right.
Because it's a sort of a different dynamic when you have four people who know each other playing compared to four strangers.
Okay. I guess that does make some sense. It's...
It would still be nice if it did it like Salmon Run, where you could get as many people as you want and then get matched with a random.
Yeah, that's what I would have liked, if I could just even, you know, just have two people and then match up with another team of two people. Like, I can get they probably think that the team dynamic, especially when you've got voice involved, does change things, but is anyone using the actual Splatoon voice thing? I don't know if my experience is relevant for lots of people, but I've not touched it and it's not fun. And everyone that I've played with just seems to use Discord instead, so that you don't have the, like, you can't assume that everyone's in a team sort of thing. But I don't know. I get what they're trying to do, but it just seemed unnecessarily annoying, because during a regular day I can just join on a friend. Whether we're in a team or not, it doesn't really matter, but it suddenly did on that weekend.
At least should be better explained in the game.
Yes, that's another issue I don't want to bring up a lot, but there's a lot of things in this game that aren't explained terribly well.
Yeah, some things are explained really well, like the Salmon Run mechanics.
Yeah.
It's got like its own manual, but everything else, it's just like half a sentence.
Or even like when you're in the lobby and it shows you your... I don't know what it's called, but sort of how you have that little ranking underneath your name and
Splatfest power.
Or even just during regular modes, how it has like you'd get on fire or whatever the equivalent's called. Same place where the Splatfest power is, but during non-Splatfest times. I don't really know what that means. Yeah, freshness, that's it. Yeah,
what? Oh, is this where...
It's a win streak.
So, yeah. Oh, well, so like how I was telling you the other day, I got my aerospray up to 15 and that, and Because you get 1 point if you win, but then once you get over 10, you lose 1.5 for it. So, okay.
So, what does that mean? What does it do?
I think it's just XP bonuses.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So every 5 you get a boost in XP.
Up to 15, and then it just, I think, goes up and up and up without actually hitting in the next cap. I'm not sure on that, but
I think it's just a way to encourage you to use other weapons.
Yeah.
Just because if you use all the weapons and get them all up to 15, then you've got to get a lot more XP.
Okay. Yeah, no, that does make sense.
Pretty much it, yeah.
It's just, yeah, I couldn't remember any point. Like, it has a compulsory tutorial you have to play at the start, but I feel like it covered stuff I already knew, and then I see all these weird sort of UI things that I don't quite think are explained. But I'm glad you've explained it, because it does actually make sense now.
That at your freshness rating, that's my sort of one big gripe about the game with it, is the penalties for losing. And I get, you know, if you lose a game, sure, whatever, that happens and it goes down. But when you start a game and then you realize, oh, someone's dropped and now we're down to 3, so we're going to lose, and then I've been penalized because someone else dropped out. I don't mind they're getting, you know, not as much XP or whatever and losing the game, but then I've actually lost a thing I've been trying to build up because someone dropped out.
Yeah.
Super frustrating. Now, there needs to be, I don't know how Nintendo could do it, but there needs to be less penalties if you're in a game where someone drops out. Now, in saying that, I had a win the other week where it was 3 versus 4 and we won, and I'm like, how the hell did we do that? That's amazing. So it can be done, but it is just super hard. And if you're taking on a team and even one person is really good at it, you'll lose a 4-on-3 all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess in positive-ish stuff, Salmon Run's really fun.
Yeah.
I've not played it yet.
Really?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm having too much fun doing Splatfest. Only in the last week, I just started going, I wonder what ranked mode's like. Oh, I like ranked mode. Okay, I'm going to play ranked mode now.
Oh, I haven't actually gotten into ranked mode yet. I just kept playing either Salmon Run or Turf War and haven't really gone Turf down War. The rank yet.
I have found ranked modes made me think differently. Like, I've gone to, what was the weapon that just came out on the weekend?
The one that looks like Lucio's speaker?
Yeah. So I've sort of moved to that for ranked mode, because it's really damaging up close, and a lot of what I do is about sneaking around using stealth swim. That's just a fun thing to sneak up and just knock people out.
Be horrible and make people hate you in the video game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're defending your, like, it's not so much about covering everything with paint, it's like just got to keep your team on the objective, and doing that is to get rid of the enemy.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Salmon Run, please go on about why it is good.
I know it's weird. It's kind of a horde mode in Splatoon, which I didn't really think would work, but it really does.
Yeah, it's co-op horde mode. It's really fun. It's hard. It gets hard very quickly.
Yeah, I feel like the difficulty ramps up, like it's sort of a breeze for a good while, and then it's just boom, like here are eight bosses just have appeared.
Because it means that it kind of forces you to do better, and when you do better, you feel more accomplished outside of what the game rewards you, if that makes sense.
I think, yeah, it's sort of, it annoys me sometimes that it forces you to use a specific weapon, but also it means you can use a specific weapon you either might not have access to or just generally don't use in regular games. And so it has reaffirmed that I don't like using the charger, but it's also meant that I can play around with other stuff that I don't normally do, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Apparently you get to choose what weapons you do, you get when you do local play.
Oh, okay. Wonder why that is, but
no idea.
It's a neat tidbit of information, I guess. The only thing that I've found, I don't know, I'm not sure about whether I enjoy this or not with Salmon Run, but with how it's only available at certain times, I don't fully know the pattern. Like, it seems to be available for a day and a bit, then go away, and then I hear it's back on Twitter, so I jump in and, oh, there it is. Is there any rhyme or reason as to when it is and isn't available?
It's sort of like a day on, day off.
Okay.
I think they just don't want to split the user base that much.
Yeah.
Because when Salmon runs on, everybody's on that instead of regular
just modes. Everything else, yeah.
I notice it in the Discord when Salmon Run is on, everybody's just looking for a group to play Salmon Run with. So if that was like that all the time, I guess people would also get a bit bored of it.
I guess it does make it a little bit of an event, like not to the extent of a Splatfest or anything, but it's like it's on, so everybody go to it rather than it's just an option in the menu. Eh, we'll try it someday. Like, I imagine if the, well, like Lucio Ball is only on occasionally in Overwatch, so I'll play it when it's on, but if that's in arcade mode, or, yeah, but it's a little bit different in extent, but yeah, same sort of idea.
Saying, yeah.
Like, if it was there all the time, I probably would not bother with it because it's only there occasionally. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll jump in and give that a go.
If it was there all the time, I'd probably just get to the point where I get the bonuses once and then just leave it. Whereas when it's day on, day off, you kind of have a day of going like, well, I'm not playing it today. And then the next session might have different weapons and you want to try them out.
Yeah, and the chat brings up a good point. It might be a way of promoting the Splatnet app schedule sort of bit. So it gets you looking in there to find out when the next one is. And while you're there, you might as well buy some stuff.
Because it tracks everything but Salmon Run stats.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never realized that, but you're totally
it's
right.
It's got like a Splatfest section now, but it doesn't track your Salmon Run games at all.
Huh. Bizarre. I wonder why.
They update that.
Yeah, that would be nice. Did anyone have any non-grumbly things to say before I had to do my final grumble about Splatoon 2?
I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would. Well, I liked the first one, but I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. But now this one, it's just, you know, I'm having so much fun with it. And also just because the fact is that I can easily tether it up to my phone and use very little data and just play online like while I'm out and about. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's changing the way I sort of play games in the train, because it's like I can do a couple of runs for Splatoon. And, you know, being on mobile, I have had one or two times where it's dropped out, but, you know, it's really fun. It's just, yeah.
So
it's,
you've
it's
seen that error message where it's like trying to shame you for disconnecting?
I haven't seen that yet.
Really?
Because it doesn't happen continuously. I think maybe once when I was doing a ranked mode, but then I found like the penalties of losing ranked mode sort of scare me a bit. So I try not to do that when I'm on it. But no, I mean,
okay. Yeah, maybe it is only in ranked mode.
Do we want to talk about, before we do the final thing, do we want to talk about the Splatfest on the weekend where the wrong team won, but we won't talk about that. How did you find the whole...
No, Ketchup did lose.
Shut up. it was a fun thing.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
happened. Did you notice that in the... So what's the new hub area called now?
Inkopolis Square.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did you see people had like towels or like banners behind them with
all their Miiverse art?
I wouldn't mind it if it was a more even Splatfest. Like,
how do you mean?
There was more people going ketchup, tomato sauce, tomato jam than mayo. So a lot of the games I was doing was tomatoes, you know, my team versus my team, and it's like, this is not kind of pointless.
I think it's weird because I, on Eggy Mayo side, had that a couple of times as well. Like, well, Eggy Oil, I should say, gosh. But yeah, like, I've probably had in the night that I spent playing probably 3 or 4 Mayo v Mayo people or teams. So
I had it maybe twice out of the 20-something matches I did.
I did however many I needed to get to Mayo King, which after losing a lot at the end turned out to be a lot of matches. But yeah,
what's her name? Was Pearl Mayo?
Yes. Therefore,
I wonder if they
best.
Could try. Yeah, I wonder if they, because Pearl's the sort of one that a lot of people online don't like. Whereas I'm like, oh, they both whatever. I'd like it if they try and give Pearl the one that they think might be the most popular, just to see how that would sway the voting.
Yeah,
I don't know. They'll do more. we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. So, yeah, my final...
What's your last grumble point?
I don't know if it's a grumble, but more of a question that might become a grumble. In Splatoon 1, could you play ranked with friends that wasn't the league sort of stuff? Like, could you have just one friend and go into ranked with them? How did that work? So,
you had two modes in Splatoon 1. There was ranked mode and squad battle.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the same rotation, but one was with just randoms and one was with either a pair or a full four.
Okay.
So it was technically you were playing ranked with a friend or three, but they've renamed that league battle and they've put it on its own rotation.
Okay, so if I want to play ranked with friend, or I guess a ranked style game, something that's not turf war with friends, I guess, let's say.
You go to league battle.
Okay, cool. So I would just have to play ranked sort of with randoms until I get unlocked league battle and then everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah. So you need to get B-minus on at least one of the three modes. And once you've unlocked it, you can't relock it by dropping rank or anything. It stays unlocked.
Cool. But well, then league battles don't affect your rank. Grumble about then.
Oh. Yeah, league battles don't affect your rank at all.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit annoying, but at the same time, I mainly kind of just want to play modes that aren't turf war sometimes. And so, if I can just do that with people who are my friends, then that's fine too. So,
yeah, if you just want to play the modes,
grumble
it's fine,
is a little bit less.
Squad battle, the league battles, I tried it, and it is a different game. It was intense, and I did not have a lot of fun because I lost 6 out of the 7 battles I did. It's, I think, the most competitive part of Splatoon.
I guess it makes sense because it probably is more likely that you'll have a coordinated team that are all talking to each other, whereas in ranked, like... From what I understand, you can all be talking to each other if you're using the app, but that's probably not something you can assume, whereas with League, you can probably more fairly assume it is going to be that way.
Yeah, well, League battles, I'm pretty sure you can use that voice app. So while that doesn't really matter, it does kind of show Nintendo going, yeah, communication is going to happen here.
Yeah. Can you use the voice app in just like regular ranked battles with randos?
No, you can't do random voice chat with people at all, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think of the children.
I've just been using Discord so much that I hadn't even looked into it, so I'm glad you have.
I actually have one gripe.
Mm-hmm. Do tell.
So, regular battle, you know you can join on friends, but you have to kind of rely on there being room for you to join.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just do it like Overwatch, where you just lobby up and then queue together?
Wouldn't that be nice? Like in Mario Kart as well? Like,
it is
extremely annoying that you can't be like, cool, I have maybe three friends that I want to play with, or three people in total that want to play in the same team, and you just kind of have to hope that you get into a match that has a whole bunch of people quitting out. It's really, really annoying.
Yeah, and I'm not saying everyone queuing together should be put on the same team. Keep it as it is where friends are split.
Totally.
But just let us queue together.
Basically.
It's so annoying because we try to play together and it's like, oh, I'm waiting for a room. Oh, the game is over. Oh, nobody left. I'm waiting another 3 minutes.
Mm.
It's not fun.
I got to say, that's something I do miss about from Splatoon 1 was the games you could play while waiting for a round to start. I mean, they weren't that in-depth or anything, but it's just a fun little distraction outside of I'm messing around with the music.
I just play this really fun game called Twitter.com while I'm waiting.
Yeah, I mean, but that's still, you know, sometimes you'll pick up your phone and then a game will start right away and it's like... I did like him. I don't know, can you do team battle normally or was that something only for the Splatfest?
Team battle how, like, with your Splatfest team or...?
Yeah, but can you do team play normally?
I think if you have a full, like, 4v4 set of people, I think you can, but otherwise I'm not sure you can.
Because I did notice in, like...
You'd have to do that in private battle, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I did notice when doing, like, the Splatfest team battle, there was an option to change your loadout.
Yeah, you can do that, I'm pretty sure, in private battles as well.
Yeah, which was, that was like, because I was playing online, obviously, that's why you play Splatoon mainly online.
Fancy that.
People, and I didn't realize, oh, I could change my loadout. Holy crap, okay. And I didn't realize it till the end, and I was stuck using the stupid, the Jill Squelchers or whatever, which are okay, but I don't think they were suited for, like, that new map that they had was weird to get my head around.
Oh, the one with all the moving platforms?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. I loved it.
I should have stuck with my aero spray or whichever the one that everyone uses now.
I'm just a horrible roller person. I'm just too effective with it to stop using it, but I also feel like a horrible goblin.
I loved it when we were playing online, and then I'm just like, you know, doing something, and then this buddy Steven just run over me. I'm like, you shit.
Yeah, that was good fun.
Because it's the worst thing. You just get rolled from behind, and it's like, no!
I think my favorite part was just, like, hiding behind a box and then just waiting for the entire team to walk past and then just getting them all at once. It was my favorite thing to do.
That's why I love Stealth Swim, because it's just so fun to sneak up on people and then, like, ha-ha, I got you.
Yeah, you can't say I'm bad. You're doing it just as bad.
I'm using a legitimate perk to do it.
Cool.
Actually, that is what I hated most about Splatfest, is how I had to use that stupid shirt they gave you. And I'm like, that doesn't have my Stealth Swim on it.
Cool. Is that Splatoon? That's Splatoon. The topic? Cool. That's Splatoon. I don't know if I have too much to say about the next topic, but we'll bring it up anyway and see how we go. So the Nintendo World Championship is back, and by world, they mean the US and Canada, from what I understand.
Yeah. the whole world, all 50 states of it.
Yes.
If you can get to wherever they're doing the tryouts, you could take part, I guess. October 7th, right while I'm in Japan and can't really pay attention to it. I kind of think that this might be used as another event to announce games. Like, last time we had it was at E3 a few years ago, and we did get one game announcement, which was Blast Ball, then later to be revealed Metroid Blast Ball. I think it's, you know, I find it funny that they're not doing this around E3, because I think they had a really good E3 that year, even though they didn't have much to show, and part of that was because of the World Championships. But it's cool they're doing it, especially how they're really embracing the sort of the more online multiplayer sort of esports side of things. So, you know, you could see, like, there's going to be ARMS, Splatoon, Mario Kart, Pokken, whatever else.
I think, as you mentioned, the timing is a little bit weird, because the only reason I really watched any of it last time was because it was, like, immediately as E3 was happening, but
yeah.
I don't know that I have much reason to, like, oh, the Nintendo World Championships are on, I'm going to tune into that. It's like, I don't know, I could just play all those games myself at my house.
That's why I think it's going to be used for announcements. Like, there's still the big sort of question mark over what Nintendo's Black Friday game is going to be. They've got nothing announced for November. And I can't see it being Xenoblade, so maybe they'll do, like, a stealth announcement. Go, oh, hey, look, Smash Brothers for the Switch is coming out. We'll announce it here. Which sort of makes sense at a big sort of event like that to sort of just
dump. I don't think they're going to do a system seller while they have no systems to sell.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, why have a Black Friday game if you don't have any way to get people to buy it? Yeah.
Do we still think that they're not going to have enough stock for Christmas? Because it is ramping up a bit. It's getting better in Japan and the rest of the world.
I don't know if it's getting better in Japan if they're still doing lotteries.
Yeah.
That's insane. I feel so... And, you know, it's not Nintendo's fault, and everyone's going, Nintendo needs to make more stock. I'm like, they're making as much as they can. Blame Apple and all of these other people stealing the chips that are needed.
Says you, who bought a new phone just recently. You're part of the problem.
I wanted one with a better camera.
So you can take photos of all those unfortunate people waiting in line to get a lottery ticket?
Yes. And all of the delicious dumplings I'm going to be eating while I'm over there, Stephen. I'll tag you on each one I take a photo of.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah.
We should do dumplings on your back.
One last thing about the World Championships. Apparently, they're playing Mario Kart 7.
Yeah. Why?
What's the deal with that?
All right.
Hang on, what? Sorry, what?
Like, they're playing Mario Kart 7 at the World Championships and not the other one.
Have they actually announced the games that are going to be played? Sorry, I didn't actually notice that.
I think Mario Kart 7 is the only one I can see in the press release quote thingy. Mario Kart 7 for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems.
I don't know.
I guess so that the 3DS has some representation, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you have a new Mario Kart game that is actually very good, in fact.
I liked Mario Kart 7.
But
I didn't hate it. It's just...
Yeah, I love 7.
But it's not the best Mario Kart game ever made.
Like, I love Double Dash 2, but I wouldn't expect that to be at the World Championships.
Oh, no, I would. I mean, I need one where I can switch between Daisy and Toadette.
I am Daisy. I am Daisy.
Don't get me started on Daisy right now.
Okay.
Cool. Good sentence.
We're going to have Mario Kart Super Circuit. Okay.
That one would actually make more sense because it's a bit more of a retro established classic title, if you know what I mean, where 7 isn't. It's just, in that window between decent recent game and retro because it's on a...
We're going to do the Snakers World Tournament, so it's just Mario Kart DS.
Ugh. Apparently, on Game Boy Advance, apparently if you're older than 13, then you play as Bowser on Bowser Castle 1, the GBA retro level, so...
What?
Like, you know how that level's in Mario Kart 7? Like, Bowser's Castle, that's the level you have to play if you're over 13 and entering the championships, or qualifying in the championships. So... That's a fact, I guess. Anything more on this topic?
Maybe just for this just for the qualifiers then?
Yeah, seems that way.
Okay. Oh, look, qualifiers. Maybe it's just easier to get. Actually, maybe that's it. It's easier to get 3DS systems out there than Switches.
That's not a crazy thought, actually. Anything more on Nintendo World Championships? I'll take that as a no.
I hope Unirally is present.
I hope the world get to go to this one.
I specifically hope that Unirally is not present.
And Stunt Race FX.
So, we've been playing some video games recently on the Nintendo.
Do we
want
to take a break before that? Or do we
We're live. We don't take breaks. We just soldier on.
Whatever.
So, yeah, on the Nintendo family of systems, I've been playing Slime San. I've got a code for review. Oh, you have too.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Cool.
That's why I put it on. I put it on the list.
I thought you just knew I was like. I thought you were just creeping on my profile or something.
I don't care what you play.
Wow.
I don't. I really care.
I won't talk about it then. Gosh.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, what
Please
do you
come back, Steven son?
What do you think of Slime son, Daniel son?
No. Buddy, Karate Kid. To get that all the bloody time in high school and primary school is the worst.
Hi.
I'm liking it. I haven't really played anything like a Super Meat Boy or, you know, those sort of hardcore platformers. The closest would be 1001 Spikes, which is a lot harder than this actually. I'm not past the first world yet.
Oh, so. Dude, you haven't seen anything yet then.
But I love, you know, even then it's like the gameplay concepts it's throwing at you. Like, I've never felt like I'm doing the same thing twice this early on.
Yeah, definitely. And it keeps doing that. Like, it's to give a general idea of what the game is like, it is kind of Super Meat Boy-esque in that it's short levels that can be completed in, 30 seconds if you're decent at it. But they, you know, you just jump around, avoid the red bits that are bad and touch the green bits that are good. But, like, it adds a few extra elements that make it really interesting. So you get, like, a double jump in the air and you can get an air dash, which you sometimes have to combine with a double jump to make extra distance or to, prevent you from hitting horrible spiky bits at the bottom. And sort of the biggest, most interesting change is that you can change into, like, a secondary form where you can move through green walls. And sometimes, and later on in the game, it as well as changing so you go through green walls, sometimes there'll be blocks that are solid and blocks that are like an outline, and they will swap state depending on your state. And it just adds a whole bunch of extra complexity to the basic sort of run, jump, avoid spikes formula of Super Meat Boy. But it's really, really fun. Like,
The fact that you've also, like, you can't, I don't know if Meat Boy's like this, but you can't just sit and try and figure out a stage. You have to be on your toes because there's sort of like, there's a timer that goes down, and then once it reaches the end, this sort of wall of blood or lava or whatever will start coming onto the screen. So,
yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Need to keep moving.
Yeah, at least in my, I didn't finish Super Meat Boy, but I don't think that was ever an element. But yeah, you've sort of essentially got a timer, and you have to, I mean, if you lose, you start the level again, so you're not really, you know, you don't have to worry too much. The levels are short, but it means that you have to work the level out as you go and practice it to get good at it. And yeah, you just can't really sit around and assess situations, which is good and bad. I think it's fun to keep you on your toes.
And I mean, just given how, you know, you die and then you're right back sort of where you started, and that, you know, sort of just keeps you moving. There's no sort of, like, you know, it's not even a second between dying and starting again, really.
I think one thing on top of the actual gameplay itself, I really, really like the just personality the game has. Like, have you, like, the just the general writing, like, there's not really intense story or anything like that, but all the characters all just have, you know, fun, goofy things to say. You can
It was like some character I met called, it was like a Chuck Norris parody name, and I can't remember how it went.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of birds that are all like just various like real people names, but slightly changed, and they were kind of fun. But like,
I got to the onsen.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's like this big sort of, I don't know if that's blood or what the hell's lying in it. So hang on. What's the story? So have you been swallowed by like a giant worm or something?
Yeah, what
like
I can gather is, someone? Yeah, you're inside a giant worm, and because everybody that you talk to in the town talks about, oh, you've been swallowed too. So I think there's a town that's been established inside of a giant worm by all the creatures who have been eaten by said worm. And that's the story, I guess. You do basically,
that level in Gears of War.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, you are, yeah, as the chat said, basically trying to go through the intestines of a giant worm. It's basically what the video game is. But yeah, sort of as on its personality, like the writing, and I think the part that stood out to me the most is when you go through and finish levels, you can earn currency to purchase like extra apples, those are your currency. And you can use those to purchase like outfit accessories or like screen filters, so you can get like a VHS filter, so it's almost impossible to see. But
screen filters are weird.
They're so intense. Like, I bought them all, and then I couldn't play with any of them on because they were just too much.
I was like, I'll get the Virtual Boy one. No, that's going off right away. Or like the Game Boy one, and there's one or two that are okay, and they also change the sound as well.
Yeah.
But I got my little bird a top hat.
Yes, oh, I loved the descriptions of all the outfits bits that you can get. Like, you get the,
I didn't even look at that.
You get the one where it's like the beanie for the bird, and the description is a cool beanie for a cool bean, and it just made me so happy. I love it. Oh, like you can get a beanie for the little blob. Oh yeah, you play as a little blob. I should probably clarify that, a slime.
A slime.
Definitely not not a Dragon Quest slime, but kind of a green, basically the same thing.
Almost as adorable.
And yeah, you give him a beanie and he's straight from the streets, Mad Bean, and I love him. I love him so much. But yeah, that's, I guess, probably what I have to say about Slime Sun.
Have you unlocked any of the other characters yet?
Not yet. I kind of am trying to play through the game as the main sort of base character before going to the other ones. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Because they all have like different styles of play. Like, I haven't touched any of them either, but it seemed like, oh, this one can jump higher, but it's a bit floatier, or this one needs to be moving all the time, but it gets two double dashes in the air.
Yeah, some can do like multiple dashes without hitting the ground, and I'm considering those like a remix sort of mode, and from the loading screens, it sounds like there is already a remix mode when you finish the game. New Game Plus kind of changes up the levels a little bit, but yeah, there's a lot to do in the game.
Are there leaderboards?
I'm not sure. You definitely, when you finish each world, it gives you your time and then says, if you want a trophy, you should do this entire world in 30 seconds. I'm like, no.
I look at that, I'm like, how?
I'm sure it's possible.
That took me a minute and a half to do four states. How?
But if it would make sense for there to be leaderboards, but I haven't seen them. So maybe there is. Maybe there is. We'll get back to you on that at some point.
And, I mean, there are secret coins in each area as well, which I've only found one of them so far. And from looking at how long to beat, like the average times for this game seem to be, to finish it, 10 hours, which that's a fair chunk for a game like this.
Yeah, it's good. Be on the lookout for my actual full review when I get to writing that. I guess that's Slime Sun. There is at least one other game that we're going to talk about, but I think Daniel's the only one who's... I mean, we've probably all played the games that are in Namco Museum, but you're the only one who's played the Nintendo Switch collection of Namco games. What are your thoughts?
Look, I'm enjoying it. You know, it's funny. I've never really considered myself a fan of Namco games. Like, you know, they're a very sort of old-school developer, and outside of... You know, I can't think of much they did last gen, really, outside of, you know...
Soul Calibur, Tekken...
Yeah, but...
Ridge Racer, the bad ones.
So I've never been into Ridge Racer. I've never given a crap about Tekken. I did like Soul Calibur 2 for obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, like, what was that Enslaved Journey to the West? And, you know, they do, like, the Dragon Ball games and One Piece and all of that. And
was that Namco? I thought that was...
Dragon Ball...
No, Enslaved. Enslaved. I thought that was Ninja Theory.
No, it was developed by them, but it was released by Namco.
Oh, okay.
Published. But, you know, like the Takeo Drum Master games. But, you know, I've always sort of kind of, you know, liked, you know, it's one of those developers like, oh, yeah, I know of them.
They exist.
Not like, oh, yeah. And like, I love Pac-Man Championship Edition and whatever. But then, I got this and I realized, oh, hang on. For some reason, I've got the Namco collection on the Wii and the DS one. And the Pac-Man Galaga Dimensions pack that came out in the 3DS. And
like, for someone who doesn't like Namco games, you sure have a lot of their collections.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, well, how did that all happen? It's another one of, like, they've been doing these museum collections for years. And I didn't really start until I started digging into it. Like, the Nintendo 64 had one.
I think they were most prominent on PS1, like they had the five collections and they all made a cool picture when you got all the boxes, but some of them are really rare.
They've been doing these for almost 20, probably over 20 years now. And I think that's my sort of, you know, I'm liking what's on offer. You get a good collection of, I think it's 11 games all up. So the games in the collection are Pac-Man, Galaga, Dig Dug, Tower of Daraga, Sky Kid, Rolling Thunder, Galaga 88, Splatterhouse, Rolling Thunder 2, Tank Force, and Pac-Man Versus. So, you know, they're a pretty good selection of games, but I don't know, you know, I've got other game collections, and it's like, I feel like 11 games maybe isn't enough.
I guess when they're of that sort of age where they're, I guess they were kind of designed, well, not all of them, but a lot of them were designed to be sort of disposable, play it for a couple of minutes and then either put in another coin or play something else games. And I guess they don't really add up to much after that.
Yeah. And like, you know, Pac-Man is an okay game and all, but it's like, I find it hard to go back to that when there are much better versions of that. You know, it's a classic. You can't sort of say no to it or anything, but it's like, well, you know, Ms. Pac-Man's better. Pac-Man Championship Edition is so good, and that's sort of, you know, it's missing from the collection. But then in saying that, I'd never really been into Dig Dug, ever. And then I started playing it, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is all right. I could really get into this. And then I started playing it a lot, and I'm like, oh, cool. I did kind of well and got to, like, I don't know, 92 on the leaderboards for it. I'm like, cool, that's not a bad number. And, you know, all the games on offer here, they're all really good games. Galaga 88, I really like. Splatterhouse. Now, this is the first time Splatterhouse has appeared in any of these collections.
That seems kind of a weird thing, like when you've got all these, like, defining original sort of arcade games, and then Splatterhouse seems to be a couple of generations out of that, which I'm not sad about it being there, but it seems like a weird inclusion next to Pac-Man and Galaga.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. And they're not sort of the main prize for the collection, which I know people said that this game is worth the collection, just worth the price alone, is Pac-Man Versus. And
so how does that work? Because the original one involved like a person playing on a screen and three people on their own screens on Game Boy Advances. How does that work?
So full disclosure, I haven't had a chance to multiplayer it yet. So if you can get someone else who's got it, or so this thing, you only need one person to have a copy of the game. As long as someone else has downloaded the free app from the eShop,
okay,
they can link up to you. So how it will work is one person will have a Switch, and that'll be Pac-Man, and then on the other Switch, up to three controllers can link up, and they'll be the ghosts.
Okay.
But they'll only be able to see on that screen, so, you know, you'll have your circle. And,
oh, yeah, no, that's, I was wrong with how I described it. Yeah, it was three people playing on the TV, and Pac-Man had their own screen. So, that makes sense.
And so, you know, even if you're playing on your own, it's still, you're one of the ghosts, and you just got to find Pac-Man, be the first to reach 7,000 or whatever. You can see what the other ghosts are doing, so you can sort of get visual cues from where they are. And if you see Pac-Man going on their screen, you go, okay, so I know that that colour of the map is over here, so I might know where he is. I imagine playing with others, that mode could be a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's something I always wanted to try back when it was like it was packed in with a particular driving game on, like, R Racing, I think, on GameCube, and I never got that, so I couldn't play it. But, yeah, I'd be keen to play this.
It was also on the Namco Museum Collection on DS, and with that you could do, you know,
download play. Okay.
Yeah, which is so much fun. It is really weird playing it, though, and hearing Mario's voice announce every round.
Oh.
Because Charles Martinet does the voiceovers for it, and it's like, it's so weird hearing Mario's voice in a Pac-Man game.
I think the one thing that I have seen about it on Twitter is people, you can play the game, like a lot of the games, like Galaga specifically, is designed to be played on a sort of vertically portrait-oriented screen.
Tate mode. And yeah, that's cool and that's fun, and you know, it's a nice little feature. It'd be nice if there was an actual stand.
Get that horror. That horror stand that Nintendan keeps spruiking on Twitter seems to be the good thing to go for.
Okay, I might have to look into that. Either that, or I just found it, you know, just propping it up against some books or whatever, that works fine. The Switch is kind of sturdy enough to do that, despite the CNET destroying the kickstand. But yeah, you know, it's a solid collection. Each game has, like, a remix mode as well, which, like, for Pac-Man, it's like you have 3 minutes trying to eat as many ghosts as you can, or, you know, it's the same basic game, but it's just, like, the whole goal here is to eat more ghosts. Online leaderboards, which are a ton of fun. None of the game, you know, even playing like something that I've never played before, like Sky Kid, I'm like, oh yeah, this is kind of okay. I could get into this. The only one I've not touched is Tower of Daraga, because I hear that's a bit very divisive. But yeah, I think my only issue with it is I just feel like, I don't know, 11 like games from the early 90s or earlier, it just doesn't feel like enough. I don't know. I feel like, you know, in a world where...
in a world. Well,
yeah. How much was the NES Classic last year? Like, that was like...
Like $99, I think.
And that came with almost 30 games.
And most of them were, like, games at that point where they could be substantial things that you could play and finish as opposed to play for a few minutes games.
So, I don't know, I'm not saying I wanted, like, you know, 30 Namco games, but I just feel like there's a lot missing in here. Like, what about, I don't know, an arcade version of Soul Calibur, or,
Oh, man, that would be interesting on the Switch.
Yeah, or Mr. Driller, Pac-Man Championship Edition. Like, I look at the Wii Namco collection, and that had Pac-N-Roll, which was originally a DS game, but then they, you know, made it for the... for the Wii, and then a bunch of other sort of brand new games. So I don't know. It's a great collection, and it was only like $40, $50 on the eShop. It's not bad. It's, you know, it's a ton of fun. But yeah, it's weird, you know, to look at a game's price and go, is that enough? But then I've enjoyed it, so.
Yeah, I guess if you're the kind of person that wants to play old Namco games on the Switch, then it's up to you to work out if the price is right.
I am working on a review for it, so that'll be up eventually.
We know it'll probably be before the next Touching Is Good episode.
Shut up.
Sorry, that was a bit mean.
I feel so bad. I wanted to do that weekly, and then I just suck because I'm like, no, I'll definitely do it this weekend, and then I'll just put 12 hours into Dragon Quest 2.
And then the videos are hard. I guess the next game we had on the list, we'll probably skip the Fate Extella until you've had a bit more time with it. I imagine it probably would be a bit more interesting to talk about after you've had more than an hour of sort of play with it. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
There's a lot of anime happening in that game.
You didn't happen to have any questions or comments to bring up, Troy? You've been very quiet in the games section.
Yeah, Slime Sand seems interesting. Namco, I'm just really not interested in, I guess.
Cool. Honest. That's cool. I guess that will be that for the fortnight. If you're listening live, I assume you probably know about the website, so that's fine. But if you don't, we have a website. It's vooks.net. It's like books, but with a V. I've got reviews on there. I've got news on there and eShop updates and bargain guides and stuff like that. Have a look there if you're keen. It's got some good stuff. Leave us a review on iTunes if you want to be a cool person. That would be a fun thing to do. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I am at Stephen Impson. Daniel is at WorthNintendo. And Troy is at Stew Review. We'll put all the spellings in the show notes because some of those are difficult to spell. Unless you had anything else to bring up, we'll finish
off. A few people want me to talk about Miitopia.
Oh, okay. In the post, I'll chuck this back into the other section, but that's cool. Did you have more to talk about?
Not a huge amount. A lot of what I already said was in the demo discussion that we had on the last one, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
Is the game much more than the demo?
I don't really want to spoil it. It's a really good RPG that's kind of personalized to you, if that makes sense. So it's basically Tomodachi Life, and that it kind of has all your friends and me's and whatever interacting with each other. And it's an RPG, and it's really well thought out, and the combat system reminds me of Persona.
Okay, give me a little bit.
Persona? Hang on, I've just, yeah.
What?
You said the combat's like Persona. Oh, yeah. My ears have picked up.
I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about that, I can't remember if we talked about the combat last time, but yeah.
We did a little bit. It's kind of like Persona in that you get perks based on how acquainted your friends are with each other.
Oh, yes, yeah, I remember you mentioning that, so.
So, yeah, you can kind of gang up together, or it's just a bunch of stuff that happens in combat. It's slightly different, but it's kind of just arguing little minor differences. Ultimately, you want everybody to be friendly with each other because you get more perks. Like, you can gang up, you can warn other friends. If they're about to be attacked, you can go, hey, look out, and they have a chance to dodge.
Yeah, that is very similar. Like, I guess you're all out attacks and you're, like, being able to protect people from attacks and stuff. It's, yeah, very Persona-esque.
Yeah, it reminds me of Persona. It is still quite different, but it's kind of got that similar feel to it because of the whole, the friendlier people are with each other, the more powerful combos sort of happen. But you can only choose attacks for your own character. Everyone else attacks on their own accord.
I see. So once again, that's a bit like Persona 3 specifically.
I haven't played 3, but I'll trust you.
Yeah. Or at least the original version of 3.
The demo kind of stops 3/4 of the way through World 1.
Okay.
When I got to the next world, it sealed away all of my me's and my power. So the job that I picked for my character I had to get a new job for myself and pick three new me's.
Weird, but I guess I suppose to know ahead of time.
I suppose it'll get those other friends back and, yeah.
Ah, so you're saying, telling me it's a Metroid game.
Almost. It's Metroidvania, Dark Souls.
No. Metroid Quest.
It's a roguelike.
Quest. As someone who really gets into like RPG systems and mechanics and like grinding and finding exploits and stuff like that, is there much of that in a game like this, or
what not? Stuff specifically?
As in like depth to the combat, do you mean?
Well, yeah, you know, like a
exploitability,
like Odyssey sort of, you know. I don't know, because sort of like my RPGs, like a bit like a SMT or Etrian Odyssey, where there's a lot of mechanics going on, and then there's, you know, stuff I can grind and abuse the system.
Not
that makes sense.
Not really. Yeah.
Because yeah, from what I've seen, it looks a bit basic.
It's fairly basic, but it's also more in depth than I expected.
Okay.
It's meant to be accessible. And I guess that's the best word for it. It's basically just meant to be an RPG, but not for RPG fans.
Yeah, it looks like it's just a general fun game to play and not necessarily, I'm the hardcore RPG dude, I'm going to wreck this game systems by exploiting min-max stats. It's just like, I'm going to play a game and
hit swords. Well, that's how I've been playing it, and then it just got really easy.
Ah, I see.
Very quickly. Like, within the first world, I felt overpowered. Because I was going back and doing every single path, and you get food that each food gives bonuses to particular stats, but people are fussy, so they'll like one food, which means they'll get more in that stat. And I was picking them so that my healer and my magic attacker, they were getting foods that boost their magic and their magic points.
Okay.
And then by the end of World 1, I was like, really powerful.
Just wrecking.
I just put the game on auto for battles because it let me. Because
you could.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you go in with the mindset of you're an RPG fan, you might not be too satisfied with it, but honestly, it's like a personalized adventure. It's like Tomodachi Life, but it's not just interactions. It's the adventure that you go with your me's and your friends. So in that regard, I think it's really well done.
Cool. Yeah, it's not on my list to play immediately, but everything you've talked about it with so far just has me intrigued. So if
I really wasn't expecting it to be this fun.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll find it somewhere cheap and have time to play it one day. Because it sounds pretty decent.
Heck yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so we already did most of the wrap-up, so I'll fix this all up in post. That's fine. But yeah, so yeah, I guess we'll say goodbye for now. Hope you all have a good time between now and next time, and just forever generally, just have good times. Bye.
Bye, all.
Peace out, y'all, for Shizzle.